You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, happy Thursday. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all the latest, greatest news about the Kings right to your favorite podcast app of choice. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show. You might also know me from places like SB Nation's Jewels from the Crown, which I used to run. Now you can also find me writing over at Hockey Royalty and mostly just yelling on Twitter a lot, covering the Kings and other general hockey things for everyone's entertainment. I want to thank you out there listening to this show for making Locked On Kings your first listen of the day every day. And of course, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms. So make sure you're subscribing if you haven't done that already. Today's show, we're going to talk about that game against the Ducks that they somehow, amazingly, still don't know how it happened, won by a score of, 6-3? Because the Kings scored 6 unanswered goals because the Ducks, I don't even know what they did, had a meltdown. I don't know. It didn't look good, but I'll take it. A win's a win. So we're going to talk about that game as well as some updates and thoughts on Quentin Byfield's situation. If you somehow missed the news, he has a fractured left ankle, is going to be out indefinitely. And we'll get a little bit into that in the show. I am joined on the show today by Jason Hernandez from Locked On Ducks, because we played the Ducks. And so we are going to get together right now and chat a little bit about what happened in our ridiculous teams' worlds.
Our two terrible teams played each other Wednesday night and are also playing each other again over the weekend. Of course, this is preseason and doesn't really count all that much at all. I will admit right off the bat, I watched bits and pieces of the game. I eventually did go back and watch the whole game because I'm me, but I was kind of busy with the Dodger game. It was a game.
Yeah, that happened. Yep.
Yeah. What a walk-off.
Hey, baseball.
My voice is still sore from that. So we're going to get into what the heck happened on Wednesday night, because that was a weird one, wasn't it?
I mean, 6 unanswered goals, my friend.
Should I get used to that for the regular season?
No, probably not.
No. I mean, I don't feel like
the Kings just used up all their goals.
I don't feel like recapping the game because it's boring. I will just say that the first 3 goals, not Cal Peterson's fault. The Ducks just looked really good.
I'll disagree, but
okay.
He looked terrible. Like, I think that, like, two of the three, like, I would say, okay, fine. But he was doing his best, like, Jonathan Quick impression of getting way too aggressive, getting way out of position, and then being stranded, essentially, and not being able to make the save. One of them, like, every goalie is going to say, oh, I want that one back, or oh, I should have had that one. But
okay, there's one I could think of that he
was
back.
I was not filled with confidence by his performance in the first period. He did not look comfortable at all in net. And I'm not taking anything away from the Ducks in their performance, but I also think that he could have been way better.
I will say there is one goal that I did think he wants back, and that's a Silverberg goal. He was way out of position. That one I could see. But the Delorier goal where Bo Grew just kind of barreled his way to the net, I mean, he just kind of ran over everyone. So that one I'll give to Bo Grew, who I hope makes the team. And the Raquel goal, that was just Zegras literally taking the puck out of the air and passing it on the bounce. That one was impressive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that was ridiculous.
But the Silverberg goal, oh boy, that was a lucky goal by the Ducks.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the game happened. I mean, everybody scored for the Kings, including Artie Party, Arthur Kaliev. He looked really good. He was all over the place. How impressed were you by Arthur Kaliev?
I mean, I was pretty impressed. I think that we all know that he can score. That is why the Kings drafted him. He also is a good playmaker, which I feel like, again, even though a lot of us who cover the Kings and prospects have been saying that, a lot of people are still surprised to be like, oh, wow, he can pass the puck too. I will say that, like, yeah, it's a hat trick. Yeah, it was a good performance from him. And he, I believe his line was kind of one of the best of that game. But two of those three goals, like, one of them was an empty net goal, and one of them was when poor Anthony Stolarz had his equipment malfunction.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second?
And just couldn't even get into the net. So, like, really only one of those three goals was, like, a legit goal. And it was really good.
Can we talk about
the other two were like gimmies?
Can we talk about the equipment malfunction for a couple of minutes? Because that was hilarious. So poor Anthony Stolarz. So as he made his initial save, his right skate blade got caught with the post, and the blade just completely popped off. It popped off like nothing. And then as he lunges to his left, he realizes, oh crap, there's no skate blade. So he's flailing on the ice, trying to get back to his position, going, no, gotta get there. He's trying to push off on the skate, and he can't push off because there is no skate. So as he's lunging to get back to the goal, he can't do anything about it. And I know you and I talked about this. You were afraid that he was hurt at first, right?
Yeah, because at first, you know, he... When you're first looking at it, you just see him trying desperately to, like, move whatever, I think it was his left leg, whichever leg, doesn't, irrelevant. But, like, he was trying to move, and it just seemed like he had, like, no control over his limb. And I was like, did he pull something? Like, did he pop something? Like, I was afraid that he was hurt. And then once it became clear that it was an equipment malfunction, then it just became funny. Sorry, not sorry.
I mean... I chuckled a little bit, only because A, it's preseason, B, Stolarz just had this look of bewilderment. He looked like a lost puppy out there. Like, it was endearing. That's what it was. Just because he looked helpless, but you can't help but laugh because it's preseason. If it was a regular season game, he'd be a little bit more ticked off.
Yeah.
But because it's preseason, and because that's just something that's hilarious... You can't help that. At least he didn't go full-blown, like, holding the blade up in the air. At least he didn't go that mode.
He could have. It would have been really funny.
We've seen that before, haven't we?
Yes, it's one of my favorite Tuukka Rask moments.
So, he didn't go full Rask. But just the look on his face, that said it all.
Yeah, he was just so disappointed.
I don't think disappointed quite encapsulates how he was feeling at the time. Because, like, it's like that look when you're at the dinner table and you're looking forward to the dessert and you think, oh, this is going to be so delicious. And you get, like, this incredible looking cheesecake, for example. And then you take that first bite and then you realize this isn't cheesecake. Like, this is something way worse. Or you're expecting a flavor and you're like, oh, no, this isn't it. And then you have this look of, why are you giving me this? That's the look he had. I don't know what.
So betrayal. He was betrayed by his own equipment.
Yes, that is it. He was betrayed by his equipment, and he just can't help but kind of just, I felt bad for him in a way, but that was also hilarious.
There's more coming up about the game right after this, but first, betonline.ag is back and better than ever. They're ready for football. BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. They've revamped their website. They've got an updated interface. You can find more odds, props, and contests, all to keep BetOnline the number one source for everything football. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 sports season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So again, that's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, before we get back into the show, I want to tell you about an incredible app that everyone who buys gas needs to know about, and that is Get Upside. You can make up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time you fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or in Google Play right now. Use promo code HOCKEY and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your very first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there is no catch. The cash back goes right into your account, and you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, e-gift cards, all sorts of stuff. So just download the free Get Upside app. Use promo code HOCKEY to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's code HOCKEY with the Get Upside app.
Can we talk for another minute about this game? Because I sent you a site called Hockey Stat Cards, which tells you what the game score is using an algorithm that weighs on-ice performance, expected goals for, expected goals against, other stats. So I looked at the top, and to no one's surprise, Artie Party, Jared Anderson Dolan, what up, buddy, and Alex Turcotte, they were both... Oh, yeah, we're buddies now, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, myself and Anderson Dolan. Yes, ran into him at Dodger Stadium. Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those were on the top. Then I look at the bottom of the list, and
I don't want to have this conversation anymore.
Okay, we won't talk about him. I can't talk bad about him because I did watch the game on Tuesday night, and I said out loud, if you scored the shootout goal, I will never call you overrated again. So I'm not going to do that. But Kevin Shattenkirk, oh boy, his line is really bad. I look at his goals against column. It is by far the most out of anyone on this list. You watch the game. You notice that Kevin Shattenkirk was getting lost on a couple assignments there. He was getting beat. Not only to the puck, but he was getting beat skating backwards. How bad did Shatty look?
I mean, he existed, that's for sure. It was not a stellar moment in his career, really, that entire game. His goal in the fake shootout or whatever, that was fine. Yeah, he just, man, sorry, Ducks.
And they're still paying him $3.9 million for the next two seasons. And to just get undressed like that, I believe it was, I want to say the Wagner goal. I think it was the Wagner goal where he just got undressed badly. And I thought to myself, this is going to be our defense, right? This is it right here. Because I look at that goal, he was undressed. The other one where he looked bad. And you're going to scream. The Brendan Lemieux goal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goal was just a mess in general, though.
But you know who should have been covering? Oh, it was bad. It was really horrible. So where do you put Shatty?
On an eye, like... Is Robida Island an option? Like, can Kevin Shattenkirk develop some sort of, you know, undisclosed injury that he can't play forever again? Like, you could try to do that.
I don't know. The poor guy needs help. I mean, a -4? Yeesh. And that doesn't even count the power play goals, by the way, that the Kings scored.
Right, because he's not good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to say this, Ducks fans, but... it's going to be a long season on defense if he's playing 25 anyway. So let's talk about the kids, shall we?
Yeah.
Can I just get this out of the way?
I guess.
Let the kids play. Let them play. Especially the Kings kids. Well, I know one kid that cannot play. And we do have to talk about this because this isn't exactly breaking news at this point. But this is pretty bad news for the Kings. And at a game that I happened to attend, and I was pretty ticked off when I saw this initially, but Quentin Byfield is going to be out indefinitely.
So in the preseason game against the Coyotes that the Kings played, there was just a routine play. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't, you know, targeting Quentin Byfield. It wasn't, you know, headhunting. It wasn't anything. But he got kind of tangled up with a Coyotes player. He went into the boards. His leg went a direction that legs aren't supposed to go in. And he immediately left the ice, couldn't put any weight on his leg, which is already bad. And then the next day, the Kings announced that he has a fractured left ankle, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And that he is out indefinitely. The general timeline on this is like in the 6+ week range. I was just looking it up, and Logan Couture had a similar injury a couple seasons ago and was out for about 7 weeks.
Yep.
Obviously, we don't know the specifics of, you know, who broke what where and, you know, was anything else injured, whatever. But I think for Kings fans, looking at that 7 week range is where you should be putting your expectations, assuming everything goes well and he doesn't need surgery. And, you know, we don't know any of that yet, but it was a real bummer because he was performing really well. He, especially in that game, he looked like he was having his strongest game of the preseason. Was just really noticeable every time he was on the ice. Todd McClellan already said, you know, if he hadn't been injured, that Quentin Byfield would have had a spot on the opening night roster for
That's
the Kings.
That's what hurts right there.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing Trevor Zegras versus Quentin Byfield. I was looking forward to this preseason game, actually, because I wanted to see Zegras versus Byfield. I wanted to see them both in the faceoff circle, and I know that they were looking forward to this. So when he got injured by Christian Fisher, and you said it wasn't a malicious hit, but Kings fans at the arena, at Staples Center, at the time, they were pissed. They were going after his head. And I can't entirely blame them, but looking at the replay, yeah, it wasn't a malicious hit. But now you're looking at a timeline of 6 to 8 weeks. Can I have a take here on this?
It sucks. That's the take. It sucks.
I have a take on how long it'll actually take. I think it's going to take more like 12 to 15 weeks.
Why?
Here's why. The Kings are going to be very careful with their prized prospect. These injuries are very tricky, and the way that his ankle went back, it's not exactly a ligament strain, but he does need to strengthen those ligaments too, especially on a break, like the kind of fracture that it looked like it happened. It looked like it may not have been an entirely clean fracture, which I think is why there's no timetable for his return yet. I think it's going to be more along the neighborhood of 3 months. And then when he's even cleared to play or cleared to practice, they are going to take it easy on him. The Kings have had these kind of injuries happen to players in the past. And we've seen players from other teams get rushed back like nothing, and it ends up not working out. Especially for their number two pick, their top prospect, you want to take as much time as possible. And here's the other reason why I say 12 weeks to return, to the Kings. I believe that he will spend a week or two in Ontario before going back up to the LA Kings. And he did play enough games with the Rain last season where he could play in Ontario. So with that being said, I think it's going to be a long road back, but if we can target him coming back around the holidays and maybe have him come back after the Christmas break, that's when I suspect that he will come back to the LA Kings. So little bit of a hot take here. I think that Quentin Byfield is going to play in the teddy bear toss game for the Ontario Reign. That's when I'm targeting him coming back to Ontario. So there you go.
All right.
I don't know if you agree
with
that.
So your 12 weeks are a little bit of a red herring, but that's fair. I do agree that, like, I think that the best thing for him would be to do a faux conditioning stint, essentially with the Rain. Like, that absolutely makes sense. I don't know. I just know that, A, they haven't said anything. B, normal injury recovery time is in that kind of 6 to 8 week range. As much as people like to think that it's true, teams can't just make up reasons to say a guy is still hurt and keep him on injured reserve. So as soon as he's cleared to play, he's cleared to play, because everyone always thinks that that's a thing that you can do, and it isn't. You can't just say, oh, he's still hurt, and, you know, when he isn't. But yeah, I do agree that he's probably going to go to the Rain, that they're not going to just throw him right back into the NHL. And I've seen some people suggest that, you know, would the team consider loaning him out to Hockey Canada for World Juniors, because he would still be eligible for that. And, you know, would they want to send him there, risk injury again, I guess. But, you know, he's already not going to have a full NHL season. And what better way to get someone back up to speed than by playing games that have no impact on your own organization?
You took the words right out of my mouth on that one, because I was thinking that as well.
We're going to finish things up after this. But first, rockauto.com is here for you to help you save money. If you have a car, you know that they just are sometimes like basically giant money pits, right? Like you spend way too much money on having to fix them up. It's just really frustrating. And shopping for car parts is always really annoying because half of the time you go to a store and they don't even have what you're looking for. So you have to order it online anyway. Save yourself time, save yourself money, avoid frustration, and use rockauto.com. Prices there are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could possibly need. So go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all of the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
I want to talk about this big logjam at center for the Ducks, because as of right now, they have 17 forwards on their roster. They have a ton of centers. And I know you watched, I think you saw the Ducks telecast last night, right?
Unfortunately.
And they look, Ducks fans, I'm just going to come on and say it. I prefer the radio guys 1,000% over the TV guys. Not that I completely hate the TV guys, but you know, Steve Carroll and Dan Wood do a supremely better job at the Ducks games than John Ahlers.
My favorite part about the Ducks commentators was when they complained about a boarding call because they said the Ducks player didn't go into the Kings player and the way that a boarding call is of pushing him in the numbers into the board. Uh-huh. And then as he was saying this about how he thought it was a bad call, the replay is showing the player specifically boarding the Kings player, like slow-mo body to the numbers, face into the glass for the Kings player. I was like, okay. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
So I'm sure you heard this mentioned a couple times that there's a lot of players that are trying to make the team on center, and you might have one. I'm sure that was mentioned at least once or five times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to list all the centers. Sam Carrick, Ryan Getzlaff, Derek Grant, Bo Grew, Adam Henrique, Isaac Lundestrom, Mason McTavish, Sam Steele, Trevor Zegras. That's 9 by my count, correct?
I think so.
Yeah. So I gave my prediction. Which four do you think actually makes the team?
Yeah, I mean it's Getzlaff. I've already forgotten all the guys that you've named, but
yeah, there's too many of them.
There's too many of them. I still don't believe that Trevor Zegras is a center, but okay, fine, whatever. You're going to keep rolling on that train. Cool. Have fun. I have been, and I know you've talked a lot about him. The broadcast talked a lot about him, and just watching him play, that Bo Gruhl has been really great. Like, he should make this team. If he doesn't, I don't know what you're doing. But he has looked really good. I don't look forward to the Kings having to play him a lot because he's really good.
He is really good. Well, he's only 21 years old. I think he will get his chance eventually, but yeah. I also know how Dallas Eakins is. And unfortunately, I don't know if he's going to make the team, but he should make the team. Mm-hmm. He's worked really hard. He looked good last night. He looked good the other night, too. He's looked good from the rookie camp a month ago to the open practice to the rookie face-off in Arizona. He's looked good. He's done all the work. He's done everything possible to make the team. And if he doesn't make it, it'll be a slap in the face. Watch them give it to... I mean, Sam Carrick is getting old, so he might not make it. It'll probably be Getzlaff, Henrique again. Derek Grant will probably make it. And that fourth spot might go to Zegras because, like you said, you know, Zegras, Steele, I don't know. I mean, could they still use a trade chip somewhere?
I mean, yes, but would they?
Oh.
Like, Bob What's-His-Face isn't exactly known for... making smart or good or useful trades. Like,
I love that you just said Bob what's his face. I'm going to use that for the rest of the show today.
I legit blanked on his name, but I think Bob what's his face is good anyway.
No, that's okay, because I think a lot of fans feel the same way.
That's it for today. Thanks to Jason for chatting with me about that game against the Ducks. The Kings close out their preseason over the weekend with another matchup against the Ducks. And if you're into prospects, if you're into the AHL, well, the Ontario Reign are starting their preseason as well. They have a game tonight at home against the Gulls, 7 p.m. You can go out and check that out if you are in the area. I believe it's also going to be streamed on YouTube, so you can watch the game from home if you can't make it out to the arena. But get ready, because Reign season is starting. A lot of those young guys who were called up today, or yesterday, I guess, Turcotte and Kaliev and all of them have been returned to the AHL, so they will be ready for this upcoming Ontario Reign game. So check it out. Find the Reign on Twitter. I'll tweet out the link as well. If you, again, want to watch it at home online, you can do that. So get ready for the Reign season. That's it for me today. You can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. This show is at Locked on LA Kings. We're available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you're following us, subscribing to us, and tuning in every day, making us your first listen of the day. Until next time, this has been Locked on Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.